All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't believe nobody on the chat has named themselves Alligator Alcatraz yet. But anyway, let me say to everybody who's in the Rumble chat tonight. Let me see, scroll up just a little bit here. Those Jesus people is on. Robin Aroni is on. Mike Griffith is on. Conservative Warriors on. Scooter Magruder is on. Bonnie Four is on. Those Jesus people, which I already said, is on. Richard Perry is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Waterline 46 is on. Granite 2468 is on. JD Joy 25 is on. General Plowman is on. Lady Vu is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Sexy Pony is on. Let me see here. Deb New 2011 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Salty Gonads is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Sparky 8142 is on. D9597 is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Agravain is on. Waterline 46 is on. Bud Dave is on. Let me see. Adam Lombardi is on. Scrolling down here. Blade Runner is on. Sheila Kate is on. Becklin 60 is on. Todd Suff is on. Let me see here. Just scrolling down towards the bottom here. Gloyd Shaw is on. LA 106 Times is on. Malamute Lover is on. Hector Antonio is on. Ever Eden is on. Let me see here. Bonnie Four is on. Scrolling down. Maybe I reached the bottom here. I think I got just about everybody. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. As the title of the show says, Adam Schiff appears to be up next. We already knew that they were going after him, the Trump administration or Trump or the DOJ was going after him for his real estate, his mortgage fraud stuff. But now there's more. Put up the first one for me. From Cash Patel, this all came out late last night or today. FBI Director Cash Patel, we found it. We declassified. Now, I've been pretty hard on Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. So, again, but what you always do is always acknowledge what is true. This is big. They are declassifying things. We hate how the Epstein rollout was, but they are, Congress is subpoenaing a lot of people involved, including Bill Clinton. They are subpoenaing people. So things are happening. Trump is declassifying Epstein things. Trump is going after grand jury testimony and trial testimony that judges, that Obama judges are trying to sequester. So again, it appears everything is going well, and we need to acknowledge it. A lot of times what happens is people go negative and their God ends up being negativity, and they never can see anything positive at all. I refuse to do that. Whatever is true is true. And this is true. We found it. We declassified it. That's absolutely true. Now Congress can see how classified info was leaked to shape political narratives and decide if our institutions were weaponized against the American people. Exclusive Democrat whistleblower told FBI that Schiff okayed leaking classified intel to hurt Trump. Each one of those leaks is a $250,000 fine and punishable by years in federal prison. Go to the next one for me. So Rep. Jim Jordan, a little bit more specific now. According to a whistleblower, Adam Schiff approved the leak of classified information to target President Trump. Not only did he leak it, he specifically leaked it. Again, conspiracy against rights. So Adam Schiff has absolutely no presidential pardon, does not have... the extenuated, preemptive Biden pardon, that it was an auto pen pardon that Biden probably has no idea that he ever gave anybody. How is this not on the front page of the New York Times? You have a whistleblower. Now, remember, I learned, here's the things that I learned from Democrats over the last several years. I'll skip all the COVID stuff because I learned a lot of stuff then too. But here's what I learned from the Democrats over the last couple years. Nobody's above the law. No one's above the law. You have nothing to fear if you didn't commit any crimes. So don't worry that you're being bankrupted by a federal investigation, i.e. Flynn, i.e. Stone, Trump not being bankrupted, but certainly his financial holdings were hurt by all of his various court dealings that he had to go through. Don't worry. You have nothing to worry about at all if you didn't do anything wrong, except for them bankrupting you, investigating you to see if you did anything wrong, and paneling grand juries to see if you did anything wrong. And trying you for doing nothing, even though you did absolutely nothing wrong. They can bankrupt you. But again, those are the things that I learned. No one's above the law. And you have nothing to worry about if you didn't commit any offenses at all. And here's the other thing that I learned is whenever a whistleblower speaks, it's as if it's God himself. I mean, all of us remember during the Ukraine impeachment that if you dared, you weren't allowed to speak the whistleblower's name. You weren't allowed to refer to the whistleblower. You weren't allowed to talk about the whistleblower's connections to Adam Schiff. You weren't allowed to do any of those things. They halted the proceedings because the whistleblower could have been revealed, even though they can be revealed. There's nothing to stop them from being revealed. The laws that are in place for whistleblowers have nothing to do with their revelation. It has to do with whether or not they can be criminally prosecuted for being whistleblowers or whether they can be persecuted on the job. In other words, promotions and pay increases be withheld from them because they're a whistleblower. So we've learned now whistleblowers are supposed to be believed 100%. Just like, here's the other thing I've learned from leftists. Believe all women, even though they bold-faced lie about being raped all the time. You believe all women. And believe me, I know that from law enforcement experience, 25 years worth. Women lie about being raped, just so you know. Doesn't mean, and what they do is they actually denigrate the testimony of those who have actually been raped. But anyway, so we've learned. I mean, these are the rules that we've learned. So Rep. Jim Jordan asked a very valid question. If we're to believe all whistleblowers, unquestionably, you just believe them, then why isn't this the front page of the New York Times? Notice the day on the bottom, it's from today. Why isn't this on the front page? A Democratic Party whistleblower has revealed that Adam Schiff ordered the release of classified information to attack his political opponent. And by the way, who was his political opponent at that time? Because let me go back in time. It was 2018. Oh, there's President of the United States. So what is this exactly? Seditious conspiracy. And remember the rules when it comes to conspiracies. There is no statute of limitations until the conspiracy is admitted to and repented of by the conspirators. Has that happened yet? Has Adam Schiff come out and said that he was lying the entire time about the collusion hoax? Has he come out and said, I've lied the entire time about the Ukraine hoax, which he orchestrated using a faux whistleblower at the time, Eric Ciaramella? Remember that? So, I mean, again, have any of these confessions come out? Absolutely not. So the conspiracy continues on. Statute of limitations hasn't even started yet, nor will it ever. So here's the specific writing. Go to the next one for me. So here it is. Here's the testimony from the whistleblower. When working in this capacity, blank, I don't want to go on a long redaction spiel here because I certainly could. Why is it that we can't see this? Well, it's currently under investigation. Well, no, it's not, for one thing. This isn't really under an official investigation yet. It hasn't been. So I'm just curious. I mean, the things that are under official investigation is Ed Martin is officially investigating Letitia James and Adam Schiff for mortgage fraud. We have that. But why can't Aaron and I and Joe and everybody watching this podcast, why can't we see this? What is the reason why we couldn't? I mean, the person who's being redacted knows who they are. So it wouldn't be like they're going to reveal it on Alex Jones or the Tom Leipold podcast. I mean, you see what I'm saying? So why can't we see? Why is it that you and I aren't good enough to see it? Why is it that only the elitist of the elite are allowed to see it? Why is it that only our rulers that are not supposed to be ruling over us, but yet being subjected to the Constitution, why are they allowed to see it and not us? I'm just curious. I mean, why is it that you and I are beneath the people that can see this? I'm just curious when it's not an ongoing investigation. But anyway, I digress. When working in this capacity, blank was called, let it go, Tom, I will. We'll have to talk to myself. Was called to an all staff meeting by who, Aaron?
Schiff.
Okay. Yeah. In this meeting, I always have to see if Aaron's actually with me because sometimes Davy Jones is busy doing other
things. I'm with you.
He's with me right now, so good. In this meeting, Schiff stated the group would leak. Okay, folks, classified information. I'm going to just pause right here. This is not some sort of deep, ununderstandable mystery that you have to unfold. You know, don't you like watching like those murder mysteries, you know, on Netflix or 48 Hours, all those different little ones where you don't really know who committed the murder till the end, or a really good murder movie where you really don't know. Maybe I'm just sick, but I like watching those things. The ones that I can't figure out, this is not that. Okay. And by the way, it's not that, but it's also not something you have any sort of plausible deniability. There's no way for anybody to say, well, you're misunderstanding. Like the husband gets caught in bed with their mistress by their wife in the midst. Honey, you don't understand. She understands, okay? So we now, that shift has been caught in bed doing what he did. And we all see it because here it is. Schiff stated that the group would leak classified information, which was derogatory to the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Schiff stated, and we were to believe all whistleblowers, the information would be used to indict President Trump. Now, I want to make sure everybody, again, I don't mean to leave this up for forever, but I want to make sure that everybody understands what it is that's being leaked. And this is like a symbiote circle bleep, okay? But you need to understand how it all works. What he's talking about is nefarious intel being leaked. I have, Joe had to teach me how to say Svetlana right before the Lakova. I have her stuff here too. That Schiff and Swalwell were involved leaking Svetlana and Flynn affair information out to the public. Did Svetlana, Lakova, and General Flynn ever touch each other in the history of life? No. But you had an intel person, right, on some little intel report. I didn't like the way they looked at each other in a meeting. And Swalwell and Schiff, I'm going to get to this in a minute. Well, I should say in minutes. Schiff and Swalwell put out, it was written in a report that there was an affair between the two because an intel official said so. Now, again, I don't mean to deep dive into everything, but I really want everybody to understand what these things are because intel certainly doesn't make it real. Because who's the intel coming from? Now, let's look at this in two ways. First of all, who's the intel coming from? The intel often is coming from cutouts from the CIA paid for by you and I because the cutouts are being paid through an NGO. So they are specifically tasked with, i.e. what they did with George Papadopoulos, where they were tasked with go to George Papadopoulos and say to him, ever heard of Hillary Clinton and Russia coming out with information on Hillary Clinton? And George Papadopoulos just simply responds, no, I've never heard of anything having to do with Russia or Hillary Clinton. And written on the intel report is George Papadopoulos referenced Hillary and Russia. So George Papadopoulos is a low-end staffer on the Trump administration. So the Trump administration is looking for Russian Hillary intel. That is exactly what happened, by the way. And then Schiff and Swalwell types put out that Trump is colluding with Russia via what they heard through George Papadopoulos or the Steele dossier. And that was all instigated by their own operative, their own informant, instigating it. Then you have regular intel, which is you have actual intel officers reporting that so-and-so was in the room and this is what we saw. All right? And that doesn't mean, now that's an interpretive thing, unless the person actually witnessed somebody committing a crime. You have intel that's data, it's written, i.e. Hunter Biden received $3.5 million from the former Moscow mayor's wife. That actually was intel, and that actually happened, and has a bank transfer, as well as many other Hunter Biden laptop things. And those things were never ever spoken of by Swalwell and Schiff. But the things that are absolutely made up by their own operatives that they sent into the room to just, and there's nothing, there was no eyes between Lakova and General Flynn. That was just made up by their operatives sent into the room so that they could get rid of Michael Flynn, because Michael Flynn's one of the few truth tellers on Capitol Hill. And they knew that. And that's why Obama went to Trump and said, make sure you get rid of Mike Flynn. Because he knew that Mike Flynn was going to expose the corruption of the CIA. So here I'll just continue on reading. Schiff stated the information would be used to indict President Trump. That right there is just conspiracy. There is no hiding it. This is not a mystery shrouded in mist. This is not hard to decipher. There's nothing to figure out. That's criminality right there. Schiff stated the information would be used to indict President Trump. Stated this would, blank stated, this would be illegal. This is, the whistleblower. And upon hearing his concerns, unnamed members of the meeting reassured the whistleblower, I'm assuming, blank, that they would not be caught. That's what the people around Schiff are saying. See, there's leaking classified information. There's nothing to figure out here. This is not hidden. This is not a mystery that needs to be solved. We don't need a detective. This simply happened. And Adam Schiff needs to spend the rest of his adult life in federal prison. for each count. Blank was again approached about leaking classified information. He refused to do it in the meeting and was approached again in a separate meeting by an unnamed individuals. Blank believed this activity is to be unethical and treasonous. It was, and it is, sitting president of the United States. And you're releasing what you know to be lies. You know it's all lies. Who hired Steele? And this is somewhat separate, but who hired Christopher Steele? Trump's political opponent. You know that. And Schiff knew that his entire investigation of the collusion hoax. Who got the whistleblower for Ukraine? Eric Ciarmella. Adam Schiff did. Adam Schiff met with him prior to the hearing, which is another federal crime. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to meet with the whistleblower prior to the hearing. He did that too. And you got Alexander Vindman too, who I believe was another whistleblower. But anyway, all right. Blank was concerned about the discussions and as a result reached out to contacts from his prior blank. Why can't we know these things? Tom, shut up. I know. From his prior blank employment for guidance on where to report this experience. These discussions led blank to contact the FBI regarding his concerns. Blank had several conversations with two unnamed FBI agents related to the matter and was eventually invited to sort of a mock investigation or a mock sort of scenario where they put it all together. But the FBI, Aaron, the FBI never did anything.
Oh, of course.
Okay, I mean, that's weird. I mean, this is reported to the FBI. If you have it actively going on in front of the FBI's stupid face at this time, and they do absolutely nothing, as Adam Schiff has all of his, remember he has his hearings in the basement? He has documents that, remember, this is a select committee, and the other part of the select committee isn't allowed to read the documents the Schiff has, because they just make up the rules as they go. All right, let's go to the next one. The storm has arrived video. Here's Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. She just read a statement from FBI Director Cash Patel regarding the newly declassified docs. Play for me.
Thanks, Caroline. My question involves Russiagate. A whistleblower alleges that then Congressman Adam Schiff approved leaking classified information to smear President Trump's image during the Russiagate scandal. Does the president plan to investigate Adam Schiff, and what would accountability look like if more information confirms this report?
The president has already said he wants to see Adam Schiff held accountable for the countless lies he told the American people in relation to the Russiagate scandal. I brought Tulsi Gabbard out to this podium to talk to you about all of that, and this administration is taking accountability very seriously. As for this new FBI whistleblower report, I understand Cash Patel last night declassified a 302 FBI document showing that a whistleblower who is a Democrat, a career intelligence officer who worked for Democrats on the House Intel Committee for more than a decade, repeatedly warned the FBI in 2017 that then Rep. Adam Schiff had approved leaking classified information to smear then President Donald Trump over the Russiagate scandal. This is obviously a bombshell whistleblower report. Hopefully more people in this room will cover it as such. And I have a quote from the FBI director for all of you. He has said this: for years, certain officials used their positions to selectively leak classified information to shape political narratives. It was all done with one purpose: to weaponize intelligence and law enforcement for political gain. Those abuses eroded public trust in our institutions. The FBI will now lead the charge with our partners at DOJ, and Congress will have the chance to uncover how political power may have been weaponized and to restore accountability. That's what the administration is focused on, and hopefully we'll see some more media reports on this whistleblower allegation. If this were reversed, if this were allegations against the president or any of these cabinet officials, I'm sure everyone in this room would cover it as such.
So that's basically, of course, there's not much to be needing to be reiterated on that. That's basically the statement from the president of the United States about what it is that he saw via the Cash Patel release of this information. All right, so let's go to the next one. Let's deep dive into Adam Schiff here. Shadow of Ezra video. Here's Rep. Steve Scalise talking about how Schiff released a classified phone list. Play for me.
But I'm very concerned about what the chairman has done. He selectively put in a report the names of members of the press, of members of Congress, who he has had political disagreements with. He didn't put the names of everybody else in there. If he's got 3,500 pages of reports of phone records of people he's been spying on, he won't share all of those people that he's spying on, but he's selectively going to leak out names of members of the press who've written articles maybe that he disagrees with? That's frightening. That would be an abuse of power, but we don't know because the chairman won't share the details of what he's up to. But he did selectively put some of that in a report that wasn't even discussed in the hearings. And so, yes, it raises alarms. It raises concerns. And I would hope we get to the bottom of it.
So for all these years, Adam Schiff has been getting away. I keep calling him Schiff. It's Schiff. But he keeps getting away with these crimes. I mean, here you have, this is a man who has a phone list, classified phone list, of everybody involved in whatever this investigation was. I don't know if that was the Ukraine hoax or the collusion hoax that Scalise was talking about. I knew back at the time, but now I don't know. Now I don't want to tell you wrong information. But I believe it's the Ukraine hoax. I'm almost 100% positive it's the Ukraine hoax, the Ukraine impeachment hoax from the whistleblower, where Trump allegedly did the quid pro quo phone call with Volodymyr Zelensky. But anyway, so you have Adam Schiff committing crimes every day. Nobody does a freaking thing about it. And by the way, this was when Trump was president. Where was the FBI? You see, this is back when Trump delusionally believed, as did I for most of my life, no, not attacking Trump, that the FBI was righteous. I did. I believed it for until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I believed that. I'm not saying I believe that everything they did was right. There's never any corruption. I'm just saying on the whole. So anyway, Schiff has been committing these crimes all over the place, you know, for years now, years and years and years, lying under oath, putting false testimony on the congressional record. Remember that? He read the Ukraine phone call that was absolutely made up and then submitted it into congressional record. That's a crime. And all of these things are part of this conspiracy. So there is no statute of limitations. He needs to be charged 500 times, going all the way back to 2016. Yes, dredge it all freaking up now. This man needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison for what he's done. Him and many, many others. But right here, this phone list, he through this investigation, he's allowed to subpoena phone directories, phone lists. What do you call them, Aaron, when somebody, whatever you have, the people that you've called, the list on
like
your cell
phone. Like recent calls?
Yeah, like your recent call list, and also it has your phone list of, not your contacts, but who you've called, your list of who you've called. He has that. And releases it. Now, he picks out which ones. He picks out conservative media outlets and Republicans. I think Devin Nunes was one of them back at the time. And he releases their history to the public. That's classified. And he selectively released it. He didn't release it all out. He released only Republicans or conservatives out. That's it. Every single one of those releases, per pieces of paper, per release, per contact, is a felony. I'm talking about he needs to be charged hundreds and hundreds of times. And let's go ahead and bankrupt Adam Schiff. Let's let him enjoy, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He's bankrupted people, destroyed their lives, and put people in prison, probably even responsible for suicides and murders. He needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison, reaping the things that he's sown. All right, go to the next one. At Chicago One Ray Video, Democrat whistleblowers implicate not only Schiff, but swallows well. Play it for me.
Yeah, well, one of the guys that's in here is Eric Swalwell. Now, that is secondhand information from the whistleblower, but the whistleblower actually attended a meeting with Adam Schiff when
corrected.
He was ranking member. Yeah.
I stand
no
corrected.
Problem.
It was. They both hate Trump, so yeah, I kind of mix them up.
Yeah, they all merge together these days. Listen, this whistleblower literally sat in a meeting, he tells the FBI, where Adam Schiff authorized the leaking of classified secrets to dirty up Donald Trump and to try to build towards either a select committee in Congress or a special prosecutor.
Just a brief social comment here. We've done some interesting interviews on the show. We've had, you know, Peter McCullough, Robert W. Malone on the show before, Rodney Howard Brown on the show. But anyway, you know what I do when I'm interviewing somebody? I let them talk. Sean Hannity needs to learn to shut up. Shut the freak up, man. Just shut up. I mean, we would have known way more from John Solomon, just the news, if he would have just shut up for 10 seconds. You know, I mean, there's a whole, because I was wondering where, what's the Swallowswell involvement here? Well, we know that Swallowswell was involved here with this whistleblower who's revealing that Schiff ordered the release of classified information to indict Donald Trump. And Swallowswell was somewhere in the room, somewhere in the perimeter, somewhere involved. But since Hannity wouldn't shut up for 2 seconds and let the man talk, we don't really know specifically. I look, there's no other information about Swallowswell out there yet. Hopefully the whistleblower will be called in now. Because remember, these are just old docs from the whistleblower. Now, maybe, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know that 100%. But anyway, I believe that that's all that's been revealed right now is information from a whistleblower from a 2017 report that he reported these incidences to the FBI. All right, let me go to Svetlana Lakova again. That I was talking about earlier. Let me just get into the specifics. For years, I have been telling you it was Schiff and Swalwell who leaked classified information. Remember now, again, classified information doesn't mean true information. It just means information that was released into the intel community, like an ICA, intelligence community assessment, released into the intel community. Doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's false. It's intel. You know, if you think back in World War II, you had spies sending in, this is what we are seeing. It didn't make it fact. It's what they're seeing. Now, the flip side of that is if you actually have your own operatives purposely sending in information that conforms to the narrative that you want in the public, which is what was happening here to Svetlana Lakova, who I'm just going to call Lakova for now because it's way easier. But anyway, so Schiff and Swalwell, who leaked false classified information that they themselves instigated about General Flynn, an affair with a Russian spy that the CIA falsely portrayed me as. There was never even a relationship. There was never a friendship. There was nothing, nothing. Schiff has deliberately read the lies about me and General Flynn planted by CIA operative Halper. That's all part of the collusion hoax, and British intel operative Christopher Steele into congressional testimony. You don't read unproven intel into a congressional testimony that you know that you instigated. You instigated the intel. The documents about these lies were classified for years, but Schiff leaked them. You're not supposed to leak them, but he ordered them leaked. He ordered them leaked. That's going to be proven because the people who actually leaked them, there's a record of it. They're going to have to testify against Schiff or they're going to federal prison because some underling actually leaked them for Schiff. And eventually your underlings are going to decide who's going to go to prison, me or Pencil Neck, and they're going to choose Pencil Neck. All right, go to the next one for me. Another Lakova tweet. Schiff was promised to be head of the CIA under Hillary. See how this all works? This is our country. That's why you don't just endlessly parade around the flag and say our country's righteous. Our country was founded on righteousness, but has strayed and was destroyed basically in 1913. Formation of income tax, formation of the central bank, formation of the FBI, all that year. Formation of the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank. Schiff was promised to be head of the CIA under Hillary. Drove Trump-Russia narrative in retaliation to hurt President Trump and General Flynn. Remember, General Flynn was going to attack the CIA. And Schiff was going to be the head of the CIA. Newly released FBI documents show Schiff tried to get information from redacted three-letter agency information on Michael Flynn's contact with Russia. Go to the next one for me. So here it is. And I know this may get wonky for some of you, but I can't resist it. I'm like a moth to a flame to this stuff. Following the U.S. presidential election in November 2016, now this is the whistleblower testimony that he or she would go to prison for if it's false. In November 2016, the mood within HPSSCI was indescribable, said ranking member Schiff, said blank. Ranking member Schiff was particularly upset as he believed he would have been appointed as the director of the CIA. Boy, that's frightening, isn't it? Had candidate Hillary Clinton won the election. The HPSCI minority viewed the election and its aftermath as a constitutional crisis. And by February 2017, blank stated that all hell broke loose During a meeting on 13th of November, 2017, that would be just prior to Trump's inauguration. No, just after Trump's inauguration, January 20th, not February 20th. Blank instructed the staff that he wanted to drive the Russia involvement issue into a joint inquiry similar to the 9/11 commission. To do so, Blank instructed the staffers to use sources they had developed, the USIC, to gather information which would then be made public through the media in order to compel public opinion. According to Blank, this was an explicit request to gather classified information for public disclosure. After the meeting, Blank approached Blank and asked Blank to reach out to his contacts at Blank in order to collect information on Michael Flynn's contact with Russia. Blank tried to deflect the request by telling Blank that such information was likely held by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which it was. Blank nonetheless asked Blank again, to which Blank said he'd give it a try. Then they put, though never actually something, to his contacts, documented the meeting with his own notes, and the next day sent himself an email detailing what had happened. Writer's note, provided the interviewing agents with copies of both his blah, 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 because they blank out a bunch of words they don't need to blank out, and the email. So here's an explanation of what happened on this timeline, whether it involves Svetlana Lakova or not. Here it is, Bannon's War Room, John Solomon back on, actually allowed to talk now, talks about how the whistleblower went to the FBI and reported all the things that you and I have read from the whistleblower, and the FBI did absolutely nothing. Play for me.
The FBI has known since 2017 that Adam Schiff was accused of leaking classified information by one of his own staffers, a longtime Democrat staffer on the House Intelligence Committee, went to the FBI four times between 2017 and 2023 to say that Adam Schiff, starting when he was ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, leaked classified information. In fact, he was in a meeting where Schiff authorized the leak of information. Obviously, Schiff wouldn't do it himself. He'd ask some of his people downstream from him. That staffer told the FBI he considered Schiff's instructions to be illegal, unethical, and treasonous, the same word that Tulsi Gabbard first used a few weeks ago. Despite having four interviews with this gentleman and getting very specific information from him, and by the way, he was a career national security officer who got assigned to the House Intelligence Committee. He leaned Democrat. He was a Democrat by self-identification. The FBI did nothing. And I think that that is, well, how many times did we hear, oh, we're taking these leaks seriously. We can't run them down. In this case, they ran it down. They could show from an eyewitness that Adam Schiff had approved the classified leaks. They chose, the Justice Department chose not to bring a prosecution.
So the FBI has known for eight freaking years that Adam Schiff leaked classified information and ordered others to do so. They've known that for 8 years. They received that information from a career, I'm reading this, the notes here, career national security officer who is a confirmed Democrat. How many times did the FBI interview this guy? Four times, and they did absolutely nothing. Was this under Comey? Was this under Christopher Wray? It says since 2017, so it was Comey. It was James Comey's FBI that purposely buried. This is not, again, there's no way to have any sort of plausible deniability here. You know, a lot of times all of these guys have some sort of plausible deniability. They didn't know. I found out after the fact. No, there's no hiding here. There's no camouflage. There's no denying. You were told in 2017, James Comey, and you did nothing. And not only were you told one time, two times, three times, you were told four times. I wish I had five so I could say plead the fifth.
Fifth.
One, two, three, four, fifth. So here's one, two, three, four, four. That's all we got. But anyway, so that's it. There's no denying anything here. There's no way to hide. I mean, this is it. All you have to do is this needs to be put in front of the right jury, and it's over. It's over for Schiff. It's probably over for Swallow as well, too. This just shows you the abject corruption of Washington, D.C. It's not veiled corruption. It's absolute. Absolute, definitive corruption. I mean, it's that corrupt. Adam Schiff orders classified information be released to destroy Donald Trump. That's it. There's nothing else. There was no oops, it leaked. Adam Schiff orders it more than once. The person that he ordered to release the information, one of the people, goes to the FBI four times and does a comprehensive interview. Four times with the FBI, and the FBI does nothing. Why? Because it's Adam Schiff, and the FBI is nothing more than the brown shirts for the Democratic Party. So they protect Adam Schiff by doing nothing about it until we run the FBI. And since it's a seditious conspiracy, and nobody's repented of it, nobody's acknowledged it, nobody's admitted they were wrong, statute of limitations hasn't even started yet. Go to the next one for me. Here's Adam Schiff's own little statement here. I put a hold. This is the guy now investigating him. This is great. This is just great. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. I'm actually preaching this out of Mark 4:28 on Sunday. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. If you're expecting that your collusion and your corruption and your lies will end up in a utopia, that will never happen. What happens if you're going to use corruption, like Democrats, what they do is they use corruption to usher in what they believe to be righteousness, their socialistic Democratic Party system, right? That's what they do. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they are corruption. They believe that those things are for a righteous cause, so eventually they'll end up with righteousness. You can't. If you lie, you're going to reap lies. If you use corruption, you're going to reap corruption. If you believe in your system so much, then just simply tell the truth about it all the time and you could get your system in place. But you won't get your system in place because that system doesn't work anyway and you're only pushing that system because of self-profiteering. But I digress. But if you want that system, then you should just tell the truth. Otherwise, you're going to fall under the auspices of God Almighty. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's the Lord of the harvest. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow corruption, you're going to reap corruption. So he tries to torpedo Ed Martin, torpedo Donald Trump, and now he's under at least two separate investigations right now. And one of them, he could send him in prison put him in prison for the rest of his life. And that's exactly where Schiff needs to be. I put a hold on Ed Martin's nomination. He denied elections. No, he wanted a forensic review of the election. How's that denying an election? Adam Schiff has denied that Donald Trump. Isn't that what Adam Schiff did for four straight years? 17, 18, 19, and 20. He denied Donald Trump's election. He said he only got elected because of Russian collusion. Is that not correct? So shouldn't Adam Schiff then be denied any sort of nomination himself? And he needs to be removed right now. But John Thune has no balls, so it won't happen. He needs to be removed off of all of his committees right now in the Senate. What do they call the punishment for them in the Senate? But anyway, begins with a C. Aaron, see if you can find that for me. Punishment in the Senate. It's when they, what do they call it? If you know, put it in the chat.
Censure.
Censure. Censure him. There you go. Censure him also. Not that, does it do anything? No, but you know, it's fun. We need to do it. He denies elections, fired quality public service, attempted to chill free speech from the people who banned free speech. He accuses Ed Martin of trying to chill free speech. Turns out he's also carrying water for the Kremlin. Ugh. The man who actually carries water for the Kremlin, because all of the collusion hoax information came from a Russian named Igor Danchenko. He's the only one in the entire investigation that carries water for the Kremlin was Adam Schiff himself. And then claiming other people's doing exactly what it is, just like Swallow's well as on the Intel committee, but yet is having sex with a Chinese spy who ends up fleeing to Beijing and has never been seen since. I mean, it's just coincidental, right? It just happens every now and then. I mean, every now and then you end up bang bang and fang fang, and you know what? She just flees, starts getting investigated by the FBI, and just flees, disappears to China, never been seen since. Yeah. Well, name a Republican this happened to. Aaron, name all the Republicans.
I can't.
Yeah, there aren't any. There aren't any. Why is this always Democrats? Dianne Feinstein's personal chauffeur. How is it that a senator with a $200,000 a year salary? How is it they can afford a chauffeur? But she has one, and that guy was a Chinese spy for 20 years. That's weird. It's always the Democrats because they are actually seditious conspiratorialists themselves. They are seditious people. That's who they are. They're not Americans. They're self-profiteers. So wholly unfit for U.S. attorneys. Well, now that person is now investigating Shifty Schiff's mortgage situation. Speaking of that, let's change subjects. Let's go to Big Tish. Let's go to Big Tish James. Let's go to her for a couple minutes because she's also under investigation. Sam E. Antar tweeted, no matter how many times she gets up and yells and falsely quotes scripture, wrongly quotes scripture, doesn't even use the right words, but wrongly quotes scripture while she slaughters the unborn. Doesn't matter how many times she does that, these facts are irrefutable. She's done. I mean, it all depends on where she's tried, because that's how corrupt our judicial system is. Because if she's in under a blue judge, blue jury, blue grand jury, blue jurisdiction, she'll probably be exonerated. But hopefully that's not the case, because somehow or another, Rudy Giuliani, who allegedly committed his defamation of Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss in Atlanta, somehow was tried in Washington, D.C. So obviously these trials can be moved around via some sort of justification. So that's what needs to happen for big, and I mean getting bigger by the day, Tish. Breaking, Special Prosecutor Ed Martin, you know, there you go, Adam. Shouldn't have submarined the guy. Shouldn't have torpedoed him. Ed Martin now has the most documented mortgage fraud case in modern political history. Read the complete roadmap. I've got it. Letitia James ran a 40-year criminal enterprise while serving as New York's top prosecutor. There you can see the front part, then I'm going to read the rest to you. Brooklyn. Here's Brooklyn. Legal status, 5-unit building, certificate of occupancy. Mortgage applications consistently reported as 1 to 4 units. Why did she do that? To receive a more favorable mortgage. Aaron, what's that called?
Fraud.
Fraud. Yeah. It's not hard. I mean, this is over. It's over. There's nothing to consider here. There's no investigation needed. It's over. She signed it. 10-plus false statements to federal lenders over 20 years. What's there to say? It's a 5-unit building. She's renting out. She receives checks from 5 different units every month for their rent. But yet claimed that it was 1 unit on some, 2 units on others, 4 units on others. For a 10 plus false statements to federal lenders over 20 years. 2011, defrauded federal HAMP program with handwritten document alterations. NYC Department of Buildings confirms co on file for multiple dwelling, 5 units. All right, just the information that I have now. Big Tish. Virginia now. Oh, Tom, I thought, that's just the New York part. Hence the reason why it doesn't have to be tried in New York. let's go to Southern Virginia, shall we? Let's do it there, because do you know where these units were? Norfolk. I used to live there. That is not a Democratic Party haven. Let's go to Southern Virginia, shall we? Let's do the trial there. Virginia, 2023, the smoking gun. August 2nd, this property will not be my primary residence. I will never be a Virginia resident, she said on August 2nd of 2023. Everybody heard that, right? August 17, 15 days later, signs sworn declaration, I intend to occupy this property as my principal residence.
What?
15 days later. Okay. There's nothing to investigate here. She signed it. A notary republic witnessed her sign these documents in Virginia and 11 times in New York. It's over. If it was Joe, if it was Aaron, if it was me, it's over.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail. You undercooked the chicken?
Straight to jail.
You undercooked the chicken?
Straight to jail.
What about fish?
Straight to jail. Yeah,
okay, there you go. That's what you do. Witnessed by her own attorney general staff who put their legal reputations on the document. The ultimate hypocrisy, October 2nd of 2023, a month or so later, James launches Trump fraud trial. Remember, what was Trump's fraud? What was his fraud? You have the fake criminal trial under Juan Merchan, and then the fake civil trial under Engeron, another weirdo creep. That was simply that Trump overvalued Mar-a-Lago for loans that he paid back on time with interest, and that Deutsche Bank was the lender. Deutsche Bank's begging for his business again. And Deutsche Bank testified to that at trial, but yet Trump was still found guilty of civil real estate fraud because he overvalued Mar-a-Lago. And Letitia James says Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. Folks, There's real estate here in Sarasota on the beach that's that much. Mar-a-Lago is on the Atlantic Ocean, and on the other side is on the Intercoastal in West Palm Beach. It's worth a minimum of $400 million for the land and the property. Minimum.
Yeah.
$500 million. And she thinks it's worth $18 million. I can't fathom this, because if I was a juror on that trial or a judge, I'd be like, has anybody done some CMAs down there? That was never done. Comparative market analysis? Never done. Yet you just find them guilty anyway and fine them $500 million. That goes nowhere. Where does the fine go to? Because in civil fraud cases, if I defrauded Joe of something, I would get a settlement in a civil fraud case that I'd have to pay to him. And I'd have to pay him, the victim. There's no victim here because the bank says, there's Mar-a-Lago. You think that's worth $18 million? Do you really think I will too. Yeah. I would. I'd risk it all that I had and found a way to get $18 million because I would sell it the next day for $560
million. Yeah, exactly.
And it'd be scooped up in 2 seconds for $500 million because the people have estimated it at $1 billion. We're $18 million.
$18 million.
Come, I mean, folks, come on.
Look at the property.
The real estate alone is $150 million. Alone, without any buildings on it, is $200 million. But anyway, so that's the moment that she did that, and I just marvel at how judges can sleep at night royally screwing people over and putting people in prison. When they didn't even look into the facts, they're simply doing it because they're a Democratic Party contributor. The ultimate hypocrisy, October 2nd, she launches the investigation into the exact same thing that she actually did, falsely accusing Trump of what she did. New York State disclosure violations, titled The Shell Game. Remember, this is from Sam E. Antar. Reports mortgages that don't exist. Aaron, what's that called?
Fraud.
There you go. Hides mortgages that do exist. Aaron, what's that called?
Fraud.
There you go. Yeah, you can go switch into Trump.
Yeah.
Sterling Street property completely omitted from state findings, filed under penalty of perjury, multiple felony violations. Total RICO enterprise benefits, $10.3 million. She benefited from these frauds. Phase one, $300,000 in fraudulent loan benefits. Phase two, used AG position to avoid accountability. Phase three, $10 million taxpayer-funded defense while under federal investigation. When she's under investigation, she's using tax dollars to fund her defense. That's not legal either. Her own lawyer accidentally confirmed the fraud to the DOJ. It's a fact.
Oops.
Federal prosecutors now have written confession, government witnesses, 40-year criminal pattern, defense attorney admissions, 18 U.S.C. 1014. The crime was complete the moment she signed the false declaration. The prosecutor who built her career on no one is above the law is about to discover she is right. And one thing that was left out by Sammy Antar here is that she also falsely claimed to get a favorable mortgage in Virginia that her dad was her husband. And she did that multiple times to secure the same mortgage. Aaron, what's that called?
Fraud.
Fraud. So not only she didn't claim it one time, which, I mean, that's bad enough. There's no way to hide that either. Again, she signed on a document witnessed by a notary that her dad was her husband to receive a more favorable mortgage rate. That's fraud. And she did it multiple times using her dad as her husband, just in the tradition of Ilhan Omar. There you go. All right, here's the funny thing. Let me go to this one. Listen to this Democratic Party hypocrisy. Jason Cohen video. An article or a book called Anonymous or movie. Anonymous author Miles Taylor is panicking because Trump is doing the exact same thing to them that they did to him. Play it for me.
Look, I am reasonably confident I did not commit treason against the United States of America, the country that I've served my entire career. But that's not really what they want to do, whether it's going to, you know, against me or Attorney General James or Adam Schiff. They want to go shine a light on these people in their lives and follow them as long as possible to find the traffic infraction that they can lord over them to make their lives very, very difficult. And make no mistake, this is not for show. We're in the early parts of this administration. The president is under enormous pressure from the MAGA base to put these people in handcuffs. It's why for years he's talked about locking them up. They now want to see it. And I'm telling you, they are going to find it. One of these newscasts, you are going to come on a Saturday, and you and I both know this, Allie, and we're going to be reporting sort of breathlessly that one of these people on this list has been put in handcuffs, has been picked up, and is in detention. We are going to cross that Rubicon during the Trump presidency. It brings me no joy to forecast that, but that's how open-eyed we need to be about this.
What an idiot this guy is. Miles Taylor, former deputy secretary of the DHS, whatever his title was. We're going to cross the Rubicon. I believe the Rubicon has already been crossed. Michael Flynn was arrested. Roger Stone was arrested. Bannon was arrested. Navarro was arrested. Trump was arrested four times. And this guy's talking about crossing Rubicons? Well, you know, he never said one word about Bannon, Navarro, Trump, Flynn, Stone, Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, Giuliani, all of them either criminally or civilly charged. None of them. He never said a word about that. The Rubicon was long since crossed. Imagine being so devoid of self-respect, of human dignity and integrity, that you come out here as a former DHS executive, DHS office holder. You come out here and you actually come out and say that, you know what, someday we're going to see that. Because this is serious, because this is early on in Trump administration. So he's got over three and a half years that he can go after these people. We're going to wake up and we're going to see shift in handcuffs. Okay, we've already seen that. Where was his complaints during Bannon, Navarro, and Flynn? Where was his complaints during Roger Stone and Donald Trump? Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago was raided. Where was Miles Taylor then? A typical effeminate man, too. He's got his little beard. Hi, my name's Miles Taylor, former DHS official, author of Anonymous. And he says Trump is receiving pressure from the MAGA base. No, he's not. This is Trump going after Schiff. You think he needs pressure from us? When you've been tormented the last 10 years of your life from a pencil-necked moron? Another effeminate male? And you cannot tell me somehow or another Adam Schiff is not a receiver. Because he is. I mean, come on. It's just unbelievable, the hypocrisy of love. Now, I got to show you this video. I really went back and forth on whether to show this video or not because it's 6 minutes long, but it's unbelievable. And it's done, Aaron, side by side, real quick for me. It's done by this guy who is certainly, I don't know his name, but he is certainly not a right winger. He's about as leftist as you can get, but left is turning on itself right now. Badly turning on itself, all grasping for power and just living in constant disappointment and having to live in lies every day, denying that Donald Trump is doing great things when he is. You just have to live in that every day, just lie for a living and just deny reality as a living. John Oliver, thank you, Aaron. So there, how'd you find that so fast? It's amazing. But anyway, so a 6 minute video, I have to show you this because it shows you who Chuck Schumer is. And again, Aaron, you have Chuck Schumer's husband ready for me.
Okay.
Everything about these people is a lie. Listen, this is MJ Truth Ultra video. This is hilarious. All about Chuck Schumer busted for using the same imaginary family, the Baileys, to push his political agenda for 18 years. He's been naming this family as if they are real, and it turns out they don't exist. Play it for me.
But I actually want to talk less about Chuck Schumer himself and more about two of his favorite people, Joe and Eileen Bailey. They're a couple that throughout Schumer's career, he has talked about a lot.
They're a middle-class couple in Massapequa, which is a suburb on Long Island.
Joe and Eileen Bailey, this middle-class couple, they bought into Reagan Republicanism in 1980. Joe and Eileen are worried about losing their jobs or their friends' jobs.
The Baileys really don't believe in trickle down. They don't believe in a whole lot of government spending, but they believe in tax breaks for kids to go to college. He's an insurance adjuster and lives in the New York suburbs. By New York standards, he makes $50,000 a year. If he lived in the middle of the country, he'd make $40,000. Wife works in a medical office. She makes about $20,000. She might make $15,000 elsewhere. And you know, I have guided my political life through the Baileys.
The Baileys have guided Chuck Schumer's political life, which is a little weird given they don't exist. Seriously, he invented them. Schumer first introduced the world to the Baileys in his 2007 book, Positively American, Winning Back the Middle Class Majority, One Family at a Time. In it, he mentions the Baileys an astonishing 265 times in 264 pages. But he'd apparently been talking about them for years before the book was published. One of his former spokespeople said he's always asking, what would the Baileys think? And to be fair, Schumer acknowledges that some may find this a little weird.
If you ask my staff, I've been talking about that and talking to the Baileys for 15 years. I have conversations with them. One of my staffers once said I had imaginary friends to the press, got me in some trouble. But these people are real, and I respect them, and I really love them, and I care about them.
Okay, sure, but they're literally not real, Chuck. But even if you can understand the potential utility of creating a prototypical voter in your head, this goes way beyond that, because Schumer's given the Baileys an unnecessarily detailed backstory. For instance, he said Joe takes off his cap and sings along with the national anthem before the occasional Islanders game. Okay. And when their daughter Megan, oh yeah, they've got kids by the way, told Eileen a friend was caught cheating on a quiz, Eileen was appalled because lying is not tolerated in the house ever. Also, Eileen apparently helps with the clothing drive at her church, and her father had a prostate cancer scare a few years ago. Again, this is a made-up family. None of these people exist. But wait, I'm still not done. Apparently, Joe Bailey would never have a goatee. They watch Sex and the City and Desperate Housewives, though Joe pretends not to like either show. They think most baseball players probably take steroids, and if they were to ever go out to a Chinese restaurant, they would order Kung Pao chicken. That is a J.R.R. Tolkien level of gratuitous backstory, and I don't say that lightly. But the Baileys do seem to have a lot of sway over Schumer's politics, as he's brought them up when discussing everything from the 2008 financial crisis to cybersecurity, which he framed as protecting the security the Baileys feel when they go online to buy birthday presents. And to hear Schumer tell it, the Baileys' views can be complicated.
The Baileys are not anti-immigration, but they are anti-illegal immigration. They really dislike the Enron executives who stole money, but they hate the people who burn the flag even more. They are pro-choice. They understand that a fundamental decision like that should be made by the individual, but they're glad their church isn't.
Really? Are you sure about that? And the more you hear about the Baileys, the more it feels like they represent a very particular slice of the electorate. Schumer said that they supported the civil rights and anti-Vietnam War movements because they understood that morality was on the side of the protesters. But starting in the late 60s, when those protesters cursed the returning veterans and Stokely Carmichael advocated armed resistance against the white ruling class, the Baileys were lost, which, fun fact, is both a misleading history of the civil rights movement and what people who never supported it tend to say. And yet Schumer will insist the Baileys' concerns are widespread and that they could just as easily have been the Ramirez's of Portchester, the Kims of Elk Grove, California, or the Salims of Dearborn, Michigan. But crucially, for all he talks about how much he loves the Baileys, they don't seem to return that love, because in 2021, he explained how the Baileys had voted in the past few presidential elections.
They voted for Clinton and then they voted for Bush. They're not a member of one party or another. They're independent.
Did they vote for Donald Trump?
Both of them did in 2016. Joe Bailey still did in 2020 with misgivings, but she didn't.
Yeah. The Baileys voted for Trump. And just this March, a reporter actually got an update on their voting history.
You said the Baileys voted for Trump in 2016. They split Trump-Biden in 2020. I'm wondering who they voted for in 2024.
Probably voted for Trump. Probably voted for Trump. But if you ask them why, I think they'd say, above all, crime.
Okay, so to recap, of the six votes the Baileys had across the last three presidential elections, five went to Donald Trump, most recently because of crime, which, for what it's worth, was down in every category last year, with violent crime at its lowest rate in 20 years. They also think the civil rights movement went too far and aren't against immigration, just illegal immigration. And this is the couple who, in Chuck Schumer's own words, have guided his political life. And at this point, it might be worth asking, is that a good idea? Because the truth is, Schumer's devotion to his imaginary friends may help explain why he and the Democratic Party have been so underwhelming in recent years. Because he seems to be focusing a huge amount on the interest of the Baileys from Long Island, while forgetting other voters actually exist. And look, I'm not saying that he shouldn't think about how his messaging plays with suburban middle-class voters with pretty right-off-center views, or that they're not theoretically winnable in the future. What I am saying is, by tailoring your policies so heavily to them, you are pulling yourself to the right. And in doing so, could be alienating not only the rest of your base, but new voters looking for a party that speaks for them. So, Senator Schumer, at least when it comes to formulating policy, it might be time to break up with the Baileys, which really shouldn't be that hard to do, given that politically, it seems they've already broken up with you.
You know, YouTube are just such a bunch of whores. I mean, really, that's YouTube just banned us for playing that video. It's all over social media. Everybody is playing it. I mean, literally, I could have shown you 50 sources on Twitter playing that. I mean, it's not really copyrighted. It's just YouTube's way of getting us off. But anyway, can you just imagine the sociopathic levels of Chuck Schumer? I mean, did you hear? The carry on, that sort of lying for years. I mean, not only do you just lie, like most of us, we lie about, you know, I was too busy, I just couldn't make it. We lie, and then that's it. All right, I'm not excusing that. I mean, Revelation 21:8, all liars are going to hell. If you don't repent of your lies, you're going to hell for it. Lie, and God hates lying more than anything, according to Scripture. But anyway, he continues to build off of this lie in such a pathological way. I mean, I just wrote down a list here. He names them, of course, Joe and Eileen Bailey. He made these people up. He gives Eileen a story that she does church work and their dad had a bad prostate cancer scare. He names their child Megan. He puts out a detailed Trump voting record of 1 year they both voted for Trump, next year they split the vote, next year one voted for Trump and the other didn't, and then they both probably voted for Trump in 2024. Do you realize how sick you have to be to make this stuff up? That he gives their salaries of $50,000 a year for Joe, $20,000 a year for Eileen, named their professions. They're in his book 269 times. They guided his career. Then he stated again from a podium, Joe and Eileen Bailey are real. I respect them and I love them. What a sick human being. What a disgusting human being. And here's my thing. All the Christians in 2024, March of 2024, did what Chuck Schumer told them to do. And yeah, what's that guy's name? John Oliver? John Oliver's a liar at the end there, talking about a crime is down, all those different things. I mean, that's all lies. He's a leftist, like I told you. It's just absolute bold-faced leftist. But anyway, I mean, Chuck Schumer, he's saying, you're being guided by, here comes the leftist pundit, he can't help. He's making fun of Schumer's lies as he lies, because he's talking about, first of all, the fake crime statistics. But that he's saying Schumer shouldn't be guided by these center-right Baileys because he should be thinking about his leftist allies, his leftist voters. Has Chuck Schumer ever voted anything but left ever and hyper-left? I mean, absolutely, absurd left ever? Has he ever voted anything but extremely left? No. So, I mean, John Oliver's an idiot too. Absolute moron. Let me show you this one. Western Lensman video. We on Jerry Nadler, guys, or where? Oh, Mark Cuban. Defiant L's video. Stay with where you're at. I'm wrong. You're right. Here, I got a couple little short clips from Democrats. Defiant L's video. Mark Cuban. Blue Sky is better than X because they moderate content. This is perfect timing because I was just moderated off of YouTube again. Play for me.
You know, I don't know if anybody here uses Blue Sky, but thank you. Because I think really that's the opportunity to counterbalance a lot of the strength on Twitter, because Blue Sky is a moderated platform. When I go to Twitter, I get some of the nastiest hate, the nastiest memes. On Blue Sky, I get some hate, right? But at least I can engage in a conversation, and the hate is, billionaires are a policy failure. Okay, I can deal with that. You know, we'll eat you last. Okay, I can deal with that. The shit on Twitter is nasty, right? And I think most of the voting public would prefer a moderated platform.
Most of the voting public would prefer a censorship bureau, disinformation governance board. Imagine being a Democrat. Imagine being an American like Mark Cuban, who's received all the benefits you could ever receive from our American capitalistic federal capitalistic system. Federalist system. Imagine being somebody who has absolutely profited to the nth degree, unless you got it from NGOs, which you probably did. Imagine being somebody who's profited off of this federalistic system of ours, capitalistic system, in this democratic republic, actually propagandizing for, actually advocating for being censored. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You know what I want to be as a Democrat in 2025? I want to be censored. I prefer blue sky where, and then of course you can't say the word censored. You can't say the word disinformation governance board. You can't say Bureau of Truth like under Adolf Hitler. You can't say any of those things. Because then again, who is it that always advocates? They always call right wingers Hitler. We have nothing in common with Hitler. He was a national socialist, just like Mark Cuban. He is the income. All these people, you have the same ideology of Hitler, of Adolf Hitler. I don't want anybody banned. I don't want any speech banned, any speech at all banned. Anything. I don't want it banned. You know, the only thing that I want banned off of public access, you know, is incitement for terrorism and pornography. That's it. Because children are obviously go on there. Now, anything else, you should be able to say whatever you want to say. You want to be anti-Jesus, you can be anti-Jesus. You want to be pro-Jesus, pro-Jesus. You can be anti-Jew, pro-Jew. You can use all different slurs. You can do it. That's all free speech. If you cross the line into defamation, you'll answer for it in court. Simple as that. We don't need their moderations. I don't need YouTube moderating my content right now like they just did. There's no reason to pull that off. I guarantee you it's somewhere else on YouTube right now. It's on YouTube right now, put out by somebody else other than John Oliver and his show. And it's not being censored that's YouTube is the platform. It's not being censored on those channels because they're left wing. So what happens is when you advocate for this sort of censorship that Mark Cuban is advocating for, it ends up being the tool, the apparatchik for a political party or for political movement. And they ban their opponents. That's what happens every single time. Every time. All right, that's good. That's good for the night. Oh, whoa, look at all the Rumble rants tonight. Joe gets paid. Yay. Joe's getting paid tonight. Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Hey, I see Will's on there. It's up to whether Will gets paid tomorrow night. You know, there's so many, though. Will's giving a $10 contribution to his own pay for tomorrow. But anyway.
That is his pay.
That is your pay, Will. We love you. But anyway, Rumble Rants tonight. Lita Bonita, $50. Thank you so much. Nate Dad 1, $50. Thank you so much. BP 2, Tim 17, $20. Thank you so much. Our friend and co-producer, Will Gilbert, 2, $10. Thank you so much, Will. Greg 9 Mon, $10. Thank you so much, Greg 9. Dave Souders, $5. Thank you so much. Robin Aroni, $5. Thank you so much. Skunk 71, $5. Thank you so much, you guys. Appreciate you in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. You got to stick around for the post game. It's hilarious. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.